Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Andrea Kruska of Bright Leaf Photography. Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Fantastic. Nice to be here, Emily.
Yeah, glad to have you. So we just recently did Art Prowl together. We were both set up at the Biz Foundry, and I got to see your work. I've always seen it online, but I actually got to see it up close and personal, and it was just absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. And well, same.
Thank you. And the feedback was wonderful. You had a lot of people interested in your work, and I bet that feels really good because you're fairly new at selling your work.
Yeah, I've been doing this. I've been taking pictures for a really long time, but I just started selling, April of this year, so just over 6 months.
Yeah, and it seems like it's working out pretty good for you.
So far, it's been a lot of fun.
So how'd you get your start in nature photography?
Well, like I said, I've been taking pictures for a long time, for 20-some years. But when I moved to the Upper Cumberland, I was going through kind of a rough personal patch. I was going through a really bad breakup. I had just lost my job. So I started doing a lot of hiking around here. And while I was hiking, I was taking a lot of pictures, which mostly was for me at the time. But then I had several people ask me, are you going to start selling prints? I'd really like to buy this from you. You actually commented on that to me a couple times. So I decided, why not try and see what happens?
It's working out for you.
So far.
Yeah, it is. It's a process.
Yeah.
It definitely takes a while to get from, you know, here to here. So what are some of your, so most of your photography is nature photography. You don't do any people, which is,
like, I really try to avoid it. People don't like how they look in pictures. I certainly don't. So,
yeah. And I think it's tough. I think that there is an art form to nature photography. There's an art form to people photography. So one thing that, you know, is wonderful about what you do is, so you're in nature and you're able to, basically it's an escape.
Yes, absolutely.
And you're out there and you're all alone and it's you and your camera.
And oftentimes my dog.
Oh, that's even better. So what are some of your favorite places to photograph in the Upper Cumberland, and some places that you've, not just your favorite, but tell me some places maybe that you've been?
I always love being on the Caney Fork, or really any of the rivers up here, just because, especially in the early mornings with the fog rising up and you've got the mountains in the background. So I'd say the Caney Fork and the Obi River are some of my favorites. I also really love Welch's Point in Sparta, which is a really gorgeous overlook. People see it and think it's B-Rock, but I actually think it's more beautiful. And then really, I just love any trails where I'm in the middle of the woods and you can't tell there's any people around for miles. And I do a lot of photos with a lot of bright color and a lot of light filtering through. And so being in the middle of the woods kind of lends itself to that.
Have you been out to Window Cliff yet?
Oh, yes. It's one of my favorite hikes.
Oh, my gosh. I love it.
Kind of a bear on the way back up, though.
Yeah, on the way back up. Well, you know, like when you're going down, you're like, man, I am really screwed on the way back up.
Especially after the round trip and you're tired.
Yeah. It's a nice hike. But so when I did that hike, I didn't realize that there was an overlook. I just went because it's kind of by my house. Oh. So when I got to that overlook, I realized that I was afraid of heights.
Oh, no.
I'm like, this is intense. Have you got any shots from up high?
Yes, lots. Yeah. I do not have a fear of heights. So I have a lot of pictures like looking down a waterfall.
Nice.
So leaning off a cliff,
do.
Looking down a waterfall, right on the edge of some of the big overlooks. I have a picture of me standing right on the edge of Window Cliffs, which would probably freak my mom out if she ever saw that. So
I just felt all the blood rush from my head to my feet. I feel like I'm going to pass out.
I tend to be a little too fearless.
Yeah, for sure. Well, because you're hiking those trails and you're a woman and you're out there all by yourself and you're just like, whatever. Like, this is.
I don't let it scare me. If it scares me, then I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, that's true.
That would defeat the purpose.
It has no reason to scare you because we live in a pretty.
I'm tough.
Yeah, and we live in a great area.
Yeah, it's a really nice area.
So, do you have a favorite time of day or time of year that you like to take your pictures?
My favorite time of day is sunrise, when I can wake myself up at 3 a.m. and get somewhere to do pictures. Because the color is always beautiful. The light is always beautiful. Depending on where you are, you might have some of that gorgeous fog coming up. And I really love that. Plus, for me, that's just my time of day. That's when I'm the happiest and most at peace. favorite time of year. Anything but winter.
I know, right?
I love hiking in the winter because there's less snakes and insects, but it's just not as pretty to take pictures. Although I always love nice icicle shots at Cummins Falls and coming off cliffs and things.
It does have an eerie feel to it, though.
Yeah.
Which I think could be marketable. There's certain people that...
Yeah.
When I did photography for a while, and I actually like the winter. I like the dead trees and, you know.
And for me, I love color and light and brightness and bright green. And
yeah.
So for me, definitely spring and fall are probably my favorites. Summer, I just don't want to leave my house because it's too hot.
Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we're chatting with Carolyn Isabel. And Carolyn is a oil painter. How are you doing today, Carolyn?
I'm just great, thank you.
Good, we're so excited to have you. What would be the process if somebody wanted to commission you to do a piece?
Well, what has happened so far, people have a subject in mind, usually the home place, something that represents their business or their dog, perhaps.
Yes, I get a lot of those.
I ask them to send me a photograph that really represents what they want to see. You know, this, show me what you want in that painting. Then we discuss colors and, of course, the what it's going to paint it on. Do they want to frame it? Do they want to wrap around canvas? And then I ask them to send pictures of color schemes that they particularly like, and I put it together from there.
That's great. How long does it usually take you to do a commission piece?
It depends.
Right?
It depends. Probably no less than 2 months for me.
Yeah. Those sometimes will take me a while because I did one recently where it kind of came from the client's imagination.
Oh.
And I always give myself, I learned, especially with this one, to really give yourself ample time on those commissions because with me, with painting, it's like, okay, so you're looking through and you see a picture, or you, like you said, you see a building or something inspires you and you're like, I have to paint that. And so you get in the studio and it's all inspiration and the juices are flowing. But with a commission, there's not that initial inspiration.
Right.
And you're painting something that inspired another person, so you're trying to get into their space. So I always try and give myself ample time to make sure that I can get that inspiration, because I know it may take me a month before I feel that inspiration hit.
Right, that's really a good way to, you know, to explain that, because sometimes I find that I don't really enjoy getting started on a commissioned piece. I'm like, I don't know where I'm going with this. Of course, once you start painting, you start to enjoy it.
But it's a process.
It is.
It's definitely not like something that comes from, you know, within you, because that's totally different.
Right.
So where do you find most of your inspiration?
Oh, goodness. You know, I think that anything I look at, like I said earlier, I think, well, that would make a great painting. I think we all have a creative side to our nature. We were created, and I think God gave us that urge to create. And if we honor Him with that, we see it in everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see a mountain, a stream, a person, a dog, a building, and just have the urge to create that, or recreate it. I kind of imagine sometimes that He has our artwork on His refrigerator going, look at this. That's my kid, you know?
Yeah. Do you ever create from, do you abstracts or create from, like, just no reference photo?
I do, yeah. And early on, that's all I did. It was just all in my head, you know, whatever came out. And I still enjoy doing that.
Well, that's how I think we started as children.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I started anyway. I wasn't looking at a picture.
Right.
Somewhere along the line, I adopted that as an adult. And I try and get away from that. Now I'm doing an angel series right now. And the angels, there's no reference photo.
I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So that's coming from a very sacred space. And so I think it's fun to mix it up. Sometimes you need that reference photo.
Right.
You know, you do. But where you really get into the good spot, the sweet spot, is when you're using the reference photo, but then you're totally making it your own.
I agree.
You know, that's art. And I see that in your work.
Right.
I do. It looks like you just use like your personal Facebook page and personal Instagram page to showcase your work. Or do you have a professional page?
I have a page called Carolyn Isbell Artist.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's right. You do. Yeah. I think I even followed it.
And I am on Instagram as Carolyn Isbell.
Great. So. Well, thank you so much for coming out today. Me too. I'm doing that too. We appreciate you and your work is beautiful and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
All right. Would you say that the culture of the Upper Cumberland is heavily influenced in your art?
I would say so. I think the culture around here, first of all, people are amazing. I moved from Detroit and it was definitely a culture shock. But the people are just very supportive and encouraging here, which is wonderful. But also it's very much a nature oriented place. Everyone has an overlook they love or a hike that they like to do, their favorite waterfall. And so getting that was very much part of what I do. Like,
did you take as many photos up in Detroit or did that start when you moved here?
I took a lot in Detroit, but it wasn't nature. It was buildings and people. And I never really felt like I had something that inspired me till I moved here.
Yeah, for sure. And then you were out there with your camera just
all the time.
Yeah, for sure. So you're doing these hikes and this is a full day experience. So how do you prepare for a day like that?
Well, really good shoes. Definitely my hiking boots. I've always got a pack prepared with an extra phone charger, lots of water, some snacks, some treats for my dog if she's coming with me, sunscreen, all of the necessities. And I get ready and then I just go out. I figure out where I want to go, decide how long of a hike I want to do. Sometimes it's 2 miles. Sometimes it's a 13-mile hike up and down a mountain. And that's really it. There's not a lot of thought that goes into it. I just say, ooh, that looks fun, and I've never been there. So do I feel like walking 13 miles uphill today, or do I want to take it easy and just go do Burgess Falls or something?
Is it planned out like a week in advance, or is it real spontaneous?
Sometimes it's a week in advance. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and decide that I want to get out of the house. So
would you say, you know, when you're going on these hikes, are you in a good place emotionally, or sometimes are you in a not so great place emotionally? What's the general feeling?
It definitely varies. There are times when I just need to get out of the house. I need to get out of my own head. And I have certain places like Burgess Falls where I've been a ton of times that I go for those where I need to relax. I need to calm down, come back to myself. But then if I'm feeling more at ease, more relaxed, I'm more willing to go somewhere new. And that's where I end up climbing a mountain or going a strenuous 9-mile hike somewhere 3 hours away that none of my friends have ever heard of. So.
And what's your overall emotion when you get done with the hike?
Peaceful.
Yeah.
Completely just relaxed, peaceful, kind of exhausted usually. Mm-hmm. But
in a good way.
Yes, very much so.
And when you get home and you're looking through those photos, then you're reliving that experience.
Exactly.
It's very therapeutic.
It is. It's therapeutic. It's freeing.
Was there any kind of certain thing that took place in your life that, you know, made you want to go in this direction?
Earlier I mentioned I had gone through a breakup and lost my job. It was a really, really hard time in my life. And I actually started doing this 52 hike challenge, where the goal is to do a hike a week for a year. And that was not long after I moved to the Cookeville area, and doing that just, it completely centered me. It brought me back to where I was and got me back in touch with who I am. And I think it was more necessary than anything I've ever done.
So you completed it?
Yes, I did.
That's really impressive.
It was a lot of fun. There were some days where I was like, I can't do this anymore. I want to stop. And some hikes were more like, I'm going to go walk 2 miles around Cane Creek Park. But
that's okay. You're still doing it.
Yeah. So, but for my last one, I did one of the long mountain hikes and I took a picture up at the top and it was just amazing. And I just such a sense of accomplishment.
And did your dog accompany you through all the hikes?
Probably about 95% of them. There's a lot of hikes she can't go on because if you go to the Smokies, they don't allow dogs on a lot of the trails. But she came with me for most of them, and she loves being outside.
She's probably in pretty good shape.
Less so now that the challenge is over. She's a beagle. She grows round instead of taller.
I have a beagle, too. Andrea and I share that in common. I call them stomach with legs.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what they are.
But I love them.
Yes, they're amazing breeds.
I do have a lot of pictures of Raz, which is my dog's name, out on the trail. And some of those, I'm just like, I want to make a calendar. But I'm like, would anyone be interested in this besides me? Probably.
Right here, me.
Okay.
I'm gonna raise my hand and say, yes, I would be interested in that.
The Scene, brought to you by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. It's where we discover and uncover artists and their art from around the Upper Cumberland.
I am Liz Casera with your Art on the Scene. Jordan of Manic Knits, you are working on something right now. Mm-hmm. And every time I see you, coffee shop or just around town, you are working on stuff. Mm-hmm. So how did you get started?
I started back in high school at the Cookeville High School. They had a great art program. They did jewelries, clays. I tried all that, and knitting stuck.
So you sampled a lot.
Oh, everything.
Everything, and this is what spoke to you.
It's cheap to make. Cheap supplies, it's good.
And so you can do a lot of it, right? Because you have a wide variety. I mean, from hats to sweaters to shawls to really cute infant outfits. What are your favorite things to make?
My favorite things definitely have to be mathematical sequences and sweaters. I love that. And anytime I can fit the famous Fibonacci sequence into a shawl, that's what I love to do.
Explain a little bit about that.
Okay, well, there is a way of writing patterns that's visual, so you use grid work and symbols for the different stitches. I just love doing that, and you can do it in a way where it's very predictable, very repeatable sequencing, and I love doing that, and I've been doing it for so long that I've come up with a couple of formulas where you could just punch in different numbers for different size sweaters, and it just makes the whole writing part real quick.
Now let me ask you this. Some artists, you know, when people walk in and they see somebody working on something, they are nervous. And you have been the type of person who's always been very open, I have noticed, and you will talk to everybody, anybody. So if someone were to see you doing some knitting, would you be willing to talk to them about it?
I would probably teach them right there on the spot. I would.
So what is something that you have created recently that you're most excited about?
I made a giant duster about 2 weeks ago while I was at Centennial Park for a craft show, and I was just making it right there, and I'm probably going to give that to a friend of mine, but I loved it.
And what are the colors?
Ooh, it's called Blueberry Pie, so there was dark blue, royal blue, a little bit of light purple, and this sort of faded teal color.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. So is this something that you would also take commissions if someone were to say, hey, I heard you talking about this thing and I wanted my own duster?
Oh, yes, I take commissions and I'll probably make one for myself.
Excellent. So we could see you wearing one around.
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Helping guide you on the path to a new craft. It's your Art on the Scene.
And so are there any nature photographers that you look up to that inspire you?
Well, first of all, of course, Ansel Adams. Anyone who's ever taken nature photos just loves him. Mm-hmm. And I had prints of his as a kid. I remember in high school I had like a day planner with Ansel Adams photos on every page. And I think I plastered my walls with those. Elizabeth Carmel does a lot of work in the Pacific Coast and just out west in general, and the way she uses color and light is amazing. I find it really inspirational and somewhat what I try to do with my work. And then right here in Cookeville, there's a lot of amazing photographers in this area. Brian Stamm, I have some of his work from his trip to Alaska. Chuck Sutherland, who's a great friend of mine and also a super talented photographer.
So is your like Pinterest and Instagram feed, is it full of nature photography?
Oh, so much. So much nature photography.
Yeah, I find that my mine is full of art and things that inspire me. That's what I love about those social media platforms, is they kind of nurture you.
Yes. Mine is pretty much all nature photography and dogs. So yeah.
Things that make you happy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, great. Thanks so much for coming out today, Andrea. It was a pleasure chatting with you. And where can we find your work?
You can find me at www.brightleaffotos.com. And I'm also on Facebook and Instagram as Bright Leaf Photos.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Great. Thanks, Andrea. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today I'm chatting with Bree Flora, who specializes in jewelry and metalsmithing. Is metalsmithing a word?
Yes, it is.
Fabulous.
So sometimes it gets underlined red.
So how did you learn this technique?
I took a class at Aramont. Shout out, with Rachel Shimpok. She's awesome. She's another jeweler. She's out on the West Coast. But she specializes in powder coating and enameling. So I saw that she was teaching that class, and I kind of just jumped on it because I was like, you know, I was just doing sterling silver work, and I was enjoying it, but I've never been, like I was saying before to you, back when I was an undergrad, I did a lot more sculptural work. So making jewelry was almost forced for a little while for me, because I was like, wow, I need to make a living, so I should make jewelry with the skills I have. But I was getting bored with just this oxidized sterling, and I wanted to be able to do something new. So I was like, okay, color, and hopefully I'll like it. So I took the class, and it changed the whole way I thought about my work. Like, the whole process of me designing a piece changed. And I'm still learning. I've only been doing powder coating for about a year and a half. So it's new for me, but it's definitely taken over.
All right. So where can people find your work?
Just go on my Instagram. It's Brie, like the cheese, B-R-I-E, _ Flora. And then my website is brieflora.com.
And you're on Instagram?
Yep, that was my Instagram handles, Brie, _ Flora, and then my website's through there. Some people were like, do you have a storefront? And I'm like, no.
But you do have a studio, or people...
Yeah, I mean, you can contact me. I live in town in Cookeville, so it's not, you know, it's just where I work. I don't have, like, a display case or anything, but...
If somebody wanted to come look at your work, they're more than welcome to. And you do shows throughout the year. You just did Art Prowl.
Oh, yeah. And... I didn't ask her if this was okay, but I'm sure it is because we just had a meeting yesterday. But December 14th, I don't know when this is going to air.
Not then.
Well, it'll be past, but I'll be at Soulcraft again. So I'm trying to do more pop-ups in town because,
you know. Pop-ups are where it's at. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, and one more thing.
Okay.
Contact me if you are an artist and you're not part of Tennessee Craft. Because for this year, I'm still the president of Tennessee Craft, and we're trying to get more involved with the community and do pop-ups.
Well,
so with other artists.
Well, I'm an artist, and I want to do a pop-up.
Yeah. Okay. Hey.
All right. Bree, this is way more fun than I thought it was going to be. So, I mean, I knew it was going to be fun, but it exceeded my expectations, and maybe that's why I wanted to have you on the show so bad. So thank you so much, and that's it.
Yeah, thank you.